Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, we are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. Give our lives for people need the Lord. People need the thank you.
soldier.
Testing, 1, 2.
Bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home.
Good morning, everybody.
Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior come. I will tell you what induced me in this glorious fight to start. 'Twas the Savior's loving kindness.
Amen.
Overcame and won my heart. Many say that I'm too noisy, but I'll tell you the reason why. If they only felt the glory, they would shout as well as I.
The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. If you're saved today, that's you. You're a soldier of the cross for the Lord
when
Jesus Christ.
When to death's dark swelling river, like a warrior I shall come.
Yep.
Then I mean to shout salvation and go singing glory home. I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior come. I love Jesus, hallelujah. I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, he's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior come.
Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ today? He's coming for you in the clouds with power and might and majesty and great glory. Carry on, soldier. The battle is won. It's time to get ready to fly.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, happy Sunday, everybody, and welcome to this very special edition of the NTEB House Church Sunday Morning. Today is a very special day for me personally. It is the 30th anniversary of the time when on March 14th, 1991, I bowed my knees and my heart and I received Jesus Christ personally as my Lord and Savior in full pardon and forgiveness of my sins. From the very beginning, the Lord made me a soul winner. The first time I ever preached, I won someone to the Lord. Soul winning holds a very, very special place in my heart, and it is something that we are all commanded to do. We are told to reproduce after our kind, right? Well, if you're a Christian, you should be producing other Christians. So today, I want to bring you what I hope will be a very encouraging message on the very first soul winner in the New Testament, Andrew, who brought his brother Peter, Simon Peter, face to face with the Lord Jesus. Now, Andrew didn't know anything about soul winning. He had no idea what his gifts were, and he had never read one single word of the New Testament. But what he did know is that he had found the Messiah and brought his brother to come and meet him. Not very complicated, is it? Go thou and do likewise, the Bible says, and this morning I want to help you to do just that. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we bow our heads and we bow our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you're gathering this morning and for all those who will listen to this program in the archives, in the iTunes and Spotify and sermon audio and all over the world. And we just pray, Lord, that you would meet with us here now. And we commit this time to you. And Lord, for every single person who's listening today who knows you as Savior, in full pardon and forgiveness of their sins, Lord, I pray a very special blessing that today might be the day that they get that extra recharge that they need, that little bit of holy oomph to get back in the game and get something done for you. And Lord, I know that lost people listen to this program, and we pray that even today there might be one lost person listening who will hear something that is preached this morning from your word. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we pray that, Lord, if there's a lost person listening today, that they would get saved. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for your mercy and for your goodness. We thank you for waking us up today. We don't take even one single minute of our lives for granted, Lord. We live in confusing and dangerous times, and yet the word of God is clear, and it's a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our paths, and we don't walk in darkness, we don't walk in confusion. Your word says that those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and that light is Jesus of Nazareth, and we rejoice in that light, and we ask you to meet with us today, Father God, and we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody, and today, like I said, today is my spiritual birthday. Tomorrow is my earthly birthday, and today I turn 30 years old in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was on March 14th, 1991, and tonight, on our evening Rightly Dividing Bible Study, I'm going to be talking about my testimony tonight, and I'm going to go over that in detail, and I'm going to share some testimonies that you guys have sent in to me, and we're just going to have a good old-fashioned camp meeting tonight, and I look forward to that, and I hope you do as well, and if you can join us, please, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight on our Rightly Dividing Bible Study. But this morning, I want to talk about, in just a little bit, I want to talk about the very first soul winner in the entire New Testament. You know, the next time that somebody invites you to play Bible trivia over coffee, here is a great little piece of trivia to keep in your back pocket. Who was the very first soul winner, the very first disciple to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ? Well, we find the answer in John chapter 1, John 1, 40 through 42. One of the two which had heard John the Baptist speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So, Andrew, when's the last time you heard a sermon about Andrew? He really doesn't get much of the spotlight. He doesn't get much attention. His brother was the larger-than-life character, Simon Peter. He was the big, burly commercial fisherman. He was the man who cut off Malchus' ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's the man who denied Jesus three times after the cock crew. He is the same person who, when he was restored, Jesus said that you're going to follow me to the cross, to the literal, actual cross, and they're going to crucify you. But before that happened, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, which is this year is May 23rd, on the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter, he with the others, the 120 in the upper room, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and he began to preach, and thousands of people were added to the church. Now, can you imagine being that guy's brother? Man, you talk about a big, big shadow that Simon Peter cast. And yet, Andrew, who gets almost no attention at all, you hardly ever hear a sermon being preached about Andrew, he's the very first soul winner in the entire Bible. Isn't that amazing? And today we're going to be talking about Andrew, and we're going to be talking about soul winning, and we're going to be talking about how you, if you're not a soul winner, I'm going to show you what Andrew did, and I guarantee you, you can do exactly the same thing that Andrew did. Very glad that you're here with us this morning.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me.
So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long in love where men revile you.
So send I you. Send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. Father has sent me, so send, so send, so send I you.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
The Bible says, My King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know Him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? Well, His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off of your head. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. Terror couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. Yeah!
That was a sermon snippet that was preached decades ago by a Southern preacher by the name of S.M. Lockridge. And S.M. Lockridge, he was a pastor and he was a preacher, and he was attending a preaching conference, and he was not on the roster. He was not on the podium. He did not go there with the idea that he would be speaking that day. He simply just went to the conference to get a blessing. Well, as the Lord would orchestrate things, S.M. Lockridge was indeed asked to speak when one of the main speakers dropped out. Now, he had no time to prepare anything. All he had what was in his heart to say.
all that he had to say on that day was the result of his daily devotions, his daily Bible study, his daily prayer time with the Lord. And he got up and he preached and he opened his mouth, and that is what came out. Now, can you imagine how close that man walked with the Lord? Can you imagine? He was in that book, the King James Bible, every single day of his life. And he was ready at a moment's notice to open his mouth and to preach the word of God. And so when he was called on that day to fill in for somebody who had dropped out, he was ready. He was prepared. He was absolutely set to go, because each day he prepared by opening up his King James Bible. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that is exactly what we are supposed to be doing. The Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word." Thy word is truth. And the Bible says that God has lifted up his word even above his own name. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you have a Bible? Then you have the word of God. And if you have the word of God, you can know God. And we do. And that is what we proclaim. We open our mouth. We speak that we have seen. And we speak that we have heard. And even though we didn't walk with him physically through Nazareth and the shore of Galilee 2,000 years ago, we walk with him each and every day through his preserved and inspired word. And that's why we put so much importance here on what Bible do you have. And here we stand on the power and the authority of the King James Holy Bible. And if you desire to have a good study Bible, a good King James study Bible, but you can't afford one, send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com. We have a program where we'll send you one completely for free. You don't even have to pay the shipping, and we'll send it anywhere in the world that the U.S. Post Office delivers to. We've gotten requests from the Philippines, Malaysia, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, lots of requests from Canada, Germany, England, a lot of requests from the UK, Ireland, and of course, all across the 50 states here in America. And we're excited to provide you with that Bible. If you can't afford a good study Bible, and they get expensive, but if you can't afford one and you need one, you want one, all you have to do is email, and we're going to send you one.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free all is well.
Where are you going
to hell?
I'm going to heaven.
I'm not going.
Come join me. Get saved, and you will.
Now my life's worth living. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell.
the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. I'm not going to hell.
30 years ago today, I bowed my knees and I bowed my heart and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I didn't ask Him to come into my heart. I didn't ask Him to make me a better person. I didn't ask Him to do anything for me other than to save my soul from hell. And I only had one verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have a Bible in front of you, I want you to write your name above that word, whosoever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Felicia believeth in Him, she should not perish but have everlasting life. That Terry and Lori and Cheryl and Andrew and Bruce and Jeffrey and Kimmy and everybody, Shari, Eric, Angel. John 3:16 is the verse that I got saved on. For God so loved the world, that's me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ. That whosoever, that's me again, that if Jeffrey believeth in Him, he should not perish, but have everlasting life. You get saved because you make a transaction, not a deal, not a bargain, not a negotiation. You get saved because you make a transaction with Jesus Christ. He takes your sin that you willingly give to Him. He takes your sin, and in exchange for your sin, He gives you His righteousness. If you're not a sinner, you can't get saved. I want you to think about that. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. So the only way that you can get saved today, you got to be a sinner. And you got to know that you have committed sin just by your very existence that is going to take you to hell if you don't have somebody to pay for it. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago, He made your payment. Will you take it today? Can you give Him your sin? That's what He died for. He didn't die for your heart. He didn't die for your best life now. He died to pay for your sin. You want to get saved? Give Him your sin and take the payment that He made. Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and ask for your blessing on today's services. And we pray, Lord, a very special blessing today on everyone who is listening. And we just pray, Lord, that you would meet the needs of every single person. And you would lead us and guide us into all truth today, Lord. We lift you up. If nobody wants you, Lord, we want you. If nobody wants your book, we want your book. And more than that, we ask you to come and get us like you promised. And we're waiting patiently. And while we wait, we work. Not to get saved or stay saved, but we work, Lord, to present something to you at the judgment seat of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, it's a very special day for me. Today is my spiritual birthday. Tomorrow's my earthly birthday. And I got saved at exactly the midpoint of my life. Well, my life so far. I got saved one day before my 30th birthday, 30 years ago. Today is one day before my 60th birthday. And I'm excited. I'm excited to have that the Lord allowed me to hang around this long. I was raised with people who have not been able to hang around this long. So life is a very, very precious thing. And the older you get, the more you realize how very precious it actually is. And today is my spiritual birthday, and that's the one that I'm really, really excited about, that I've been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ for the last 30 years. Tonight at midnight, it will be exactly 30 years that I've been walking with Jesus Christ. And tonight on our evening Bible study, I'm going to be sharing my personal testimony. I don't know if maybe I've done that once, but it's been a while. It's been years since I really talked about how I got saved in detail. And tonight, I am going to give that testimony of my salvation as I rejoice that Jesus paid my payment. And I will thank him. I thank him now. I've thanked him every day for the last 30 years. Through good times and bad times, through feast and famine, through mountains and valleys. I have thanked him every single day. Thank you, Lord, for my, if you were to hear my daily prayers are very, very, very simple. Almost simplistic. When I wake up in the morning, I thank God. Thank you for allowing me to have another day. Thank you for allowing me to function on my own. Thank you for the breath in my lungs, and thank you for my beating heart and a functioning brain and hands and feet and all the rest of that. I don't take any of that for granted. I thank the Lord for the food on the table. Doesn't matter what it is. Did you have food today? Maybe it was a bowl of oatmeal in a homeless shelter. Maybe it was a ribeye steak in a beachside diner. But it's highly likely that you had something to eat today. Well, did you thank God for it? Because if you had something to eat, that's where the food came from. And every single day, I thank God for the food on the table, for the clothes on my back, and for the roof over my head. And my prayers are very, very, very simple. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. And a lot of the times people will say to me, well, what does that mean? Pray without ceasing. And, you know, people, they conjure up ideas of monks in a monastery, and they're praying on their knees, and their knees are all swollen from scraping on the floor. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, well, actually 5:16, the Apostle Paul says this: rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Now, maybe you're having up times or down times, maybe you're having feast or famine, but Paul, through it all, says rejoice evermore, period. Next line, pray without ceasing, period. Next line, in everything, give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, do you think the Apostle Paul took his own advice? He absolutely did. The Apostle Paul, he was imprisoned. He was imprisoned in the jail at Philippi. In Acts chapter 16, it says this. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, a dark, disgusting, dank, moldy, rat-filled, roach-filled, very depressing prison. Well, he just told you in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. In all things give thanks. Well, here's Paul in Acts 16:25, and him and Silas are chained to the wall of the jail at Philippi. Do you think that they sat around and got all depressed? Do you think Silas turned to Paul and says, Paul, I followed you, and look where I am. I'm chained to the wall with you. Silas didn't say that. Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't shake his fist at God and say, Lord, how could you allow me, your handpicked Damascus Road disciple? How could you allow me to be? Well, no, he didn't say any of that. 16:25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They probably gave thanks in that jail. And then they sang praises unto God. And then what happened? The prisoners heard them. And then what happened? Here's the result of their prayer. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Wherever you find yourself, Paul says, and 1 Thessalonians is the very, very first book that the Holy Spirit ever wrote through the Apostle Paul. And if you ever want a really, if you're a brand new Christian, if you've recently gotten saved, I highly recommend that you start reading the Bible in 1 Thessalonians. Paul is our apostle. And this is the very first book that he wrote. And in this book, we have the second coming, we have the pre-tribulation rapture, and we have how Christians are to live their life. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, the same person who was chained to the wall in Philippi, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul did that in Philippi, chained to the wall, and a little bit of a revival broke out. The Bible says that the wall of the prison, it came down. And it says that the bands of the prisoners were loosed. And what is that a picture of? That's an amazing picture of what happens when somebody becomes free in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what the prophet Isaiah prophesied about. And who fulfilled that prophecy? Just turn to Luke chapter 4, and you'll see who the me in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 is talking about. Turn to Luke chapter 4, and who do we see? Starting in verse 14. Luke 4, 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, chapter 61. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus Christ said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me." He's talking about himself. But then what does he say? He says, "Pick up your cross daily and follow me." In John chapter 21, Jesus is now resurrected from the dead by his own power. John 10 says, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, and my Father is greater than all." And in John chapter 21, Jesus says this to Simon Peter, the brother of Andrew. John 21, verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." And Peter did. Peter followed him right to the cross. Now, turn to John chapter 1. And John chapter 1 is where we take our text today. All that was, I set the table for you. And I want to show you what Andrew did. Andrew doesn't get very many sermons about him. If you go to your King James Bible, the word Andrew appears 13 times in 12 verses. And we see a little bit about Andrew and his brother Peter. And they were fishermen. Peter was a fisherman, and Andrew was a fisherman, and they spent their days on the Sea of Galilee, and they cast their net into the sea, for they were fishers. And we read a number of things. We read in Matthew, and we read in Mark, and we read in Luke about Andrew. But an interesting little nugget takes place when we get to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we read this. Peter and Andrew were followers of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was preaching, and John the Baptist was baptizing, which is why he was called the Baptist. And Simon Peter and Andrew were, they were followers of John the Baptist. So John chapter 1, verse 35, "And again, the next day after John stood," John the Baptist, "and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and they saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now one of the two which heard John the Baptist speak and followed him, John the Baptist, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And so Andrew is exposed to all this. Now obviously the other disciple with Andrew is John. And it says here in verse 40, "One of the two which heard John the Baptist speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Then verse 41 says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Now, do you see what Andrew did? Andrew was looking for God. Andrew had a heart that was seeking after God. John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and the Bible said that he came in the spirit and in the power of the prophet Elijah. And John the Baptist, he stood there, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In verse 23, it says, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." So you see how intimately connected the book of Isaiah is with Jesus Christ and with his earthly ministry. And John the Baptist said in verse 26, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And then verse 29, he says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" Now, Andrew was watching all of this. And Andrew believed what he saw. And when John the Baptist introduced his own cousin, Jesus, who was 6 months older, his mother's name was Elizabeth, Jesus' mother's name was Mary. And John and Jesus were cousins. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Andrew hears that. He sees John preaching. He looks over. He sees Jesus Christ. And he says, "That's the guy. That's it." In my testimony tonight, I'm going to be telling you how it is that I came to find Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my spiritual journey that I took. And it took place over about an 18-month period. And I went everywhere. I spent time with the Buddhists and with the Muslims, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, with the Mormons. Anybody who, I was raised a Catholic, anybody who said that they were spiritual, I spent time with that person because I wanted to find God. And eventually, as I'll share with you tonight, God allowed me to find him. The Bible says, "And you shall find me when you shall seek for me and search for me and look for me with all your heart." And all those years ago, I absolutely looked for him with all my heart. And I thought that I knew him, but I didn't know him. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Apostle Paul says he wants you to study the Bible like a blue-collar laborer. Somebody who works very, very hard and works up a sweat. And here in Jeremiah 29:13, the prophet says, God is speaking through him, "Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you," verse 12, "and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Well, 30 years ago, well, actually 31 and a half years ago, I started my spiritual journey, and I looked everywhere. I looked on the East Coast, on the West Coast. I looked high and low. I looked everywhere I could possibly, and tonight, I'm going to tell you where I found him, or where he found me. And Jeremiah says, "You shall find me when you search for me with all your heart." And I believe Andrew was looking for the truth with all his heart. And he listens to John the Baptist preaching. John chapter 1, starting in verse 40. John chapter 1, verse 40. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Jesus. Now, not one word of the New Testament has been written at this point. Functionally and doctrinally, it is still the Old Testament. The New Testament does not begin until Jesus dies on the cross. The Bible says that a testament is not in force in Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says this in verse 16, Hebrews 9:16, For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So the New Testament, when my dad died, we went to the lawyer, and the lawyer read my dad's last will and testament. Most people have a last will and testament of what they want done with the things that they're leaving behind and any last messages, any last words for their loved ones. And that is called a will and testament, your last will and testament. Testament meaning the things that you are testating to, the things that you are speaking to. So the New Testament does not begin until Jesus went to the cross. And here in John chapter 1, it is absolutely still the Old Testament. And Jesus said that John the Baptist, his cousin, Jesus said that he was the greatest prophet ever. Luke 7 verse 28 says, For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So John the Baptist, by the testimony of Jesus Christ, is the greatest prophet that was ever born of a woman. John the Baptist, his cousin. And this is absolutely still in John chapter 1. This is absolutely still the Old Testament. And Andrew, he goes to see John the Baptist. And he believes what John says. John stands up there and he preaches, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And John bare record, verse 32 of John 1, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, Andrew was watching all this. Andrew said, That's him. That's the guy. Not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus Christ. And Andrew said, That's the guy. That's the Messiah. He's the one. And what does he do? The very first thing he does is he runs home, verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, what is that? That is soul winning. Andrew didn't have a New Testament, but he believed the Old Testament. The Bible says, Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, talking about Jesus Christ. The entire Bible, from cover to cover, I could preach Jesus Christ all day long and never even open the New Testament. Why? Because Jesus is all through the Old Testament. All you have to go is to the book of Daniel, to the book of Isaiah, to the book of Jeremiah. All you have to do is go to the Psalms, and they will show you exactly Jesus Christ. Have you ever looked at Psalm 22, for example? Psalm 22 is a great psalm. The very first verse, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said those words on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 7 says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. You go to the Gospels and you see that that's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross. He was mocked by the people. He was mocked by the one thief who said, if thou be the Christ, come down, save yourself and save us. And here in Psalm chapter 22, you see a excellent picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 13 of Psalm 22. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. That's a picture of Satan coming after Jesus. Verse 13. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me about. That's the Gentiles. Gentiles are called dogs in the New Testament. For dogs have compassed me about. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. That's his own people. The Bible says that he came unto his own, but his own received him not, in the book of Isaiah. They pierced my hands and my feet. Right there in Psalm 22, verse 16. This entire psalm is the crucifixion. For the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. That's exactly what the Roman guards did. They gambled for his clothes. He was wearing that seamless purple cloak. And cast lots upon my vesture. But be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Do you see how this is Jesus Christ? He declared the name of Jehovah God unto his brethren, the Jewish people. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Everything that you read in this psalm, and there's dozens and dozens and dozens of other places just like this, that show you Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. You don't need the New Testament to preach Jesus. And here we have in John chapter 1, we have Andrew. He sees John the Baptist, the greatest prophet that would ever be born of a woman. And John the Baptist is pointing to Jesus and he says, don't look at me, look at that guy. Because that guy who's coming after me, I must decrease, he must increase. And Andrew is listening to this whole thing. And he says, that's it, that's him, that's him, that's the guy, we found the guy, I believe it. That's what I said 30 years ago. I said, that's it, Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's me, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus Christ on the cross, that whosoever, that's me again, that whosoever believeth on him, on Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I basically did what Andrew did, but but I did it from a church age perspective. Andrew did it from an Old Testament kingdom age perspective. That we see that when we rightly divide according to 2 Timothy 2:15. But Andrew, his very first thought, I've got to go tell Peter. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that obviously Andrew and Peter have spent a lot of time having hummus and talking about the Messiah. That tells me that Andrew and Peter and maybe a couple of other people that they were working in the commercial fishing business with, they probably spent a lot of time talking about the Old Testament, the prophets, and talking about who could be the Messiah. They were thinking about him. They had a God consciousness. What do you talk about at work? You talk about the football game, talk about the baseball game, talk about social justice. What do you talk about? You talk about politics. You talk about being a Democrat, being a Republican. Who's going to be the next big so-and-so and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's not what Andrew and Peter talked about. Andrew and Peter spent their times talking about who could be the Messiah. Do you think it could be John the Baptist? He's kind of Messiah-like, but wait a second. John said he's not that guy. John tells us to look for somebody else. John tells us that it's Jesus Christ. John said he must decrease and I must decrease and he must increase. Do you recall what John the Baptist said when he was in prison and he was about to be killed by Herod? And Matthew chapter 11 says this about John the Baptist in prison awaiting his own execution. Matthew 11, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John the Baptist had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go, and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Now, I've always found these passages very interesting, because this is the same John the Baptist that we read about in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, from where we take our text today. This is the very same John the Baptist who was a fiery preacher. He lives out in the desert. He has a long beard and long hair and long robes. He was probably a little bit intimidating to look at. And John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But now John the Baptist is in jail. Why? Because he preached the word of God and he didn't compromise. And when Herod was having sexual relations with his brother's wife, John the Baptist called him out. And then we all know the story. John gets arrested, and Herod says to his girlfriend, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? She said, I want the head of that preacher, John the Baptist. I want you to kill that guy and bring me the head. And so here in Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is awaiting that execution. And you have to remember, Jesus said about John the Baptist, he was the greatest preacher, the greatest prophet that would ever be born to a woman. But his preaching had got him into prison. His preaching had got him to the point where he was about to be executed. John the Baptist was 100% human. And unlike his cousin Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was not divine. John the Baptist was not the Son of God. John the Baptist was a regular human being, just like me and just like you. So John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, he now, I think, being a human being, he begins to have some second thoughts. I can remember back in 2015 when my witness of Now the End Begins had gotten me fired from two jobs. And I lost everything. I lost my money. I lost my apartment. I had no place to stay. I had no place to live. And my witness, and this was back in the early days of Now the End Begins. We were still a blog at that point, and we had nowhere near the audience that we have now. But it was big enough where my boss saw my website, and she was a out and proud member of the LGBTQ. And if you've ever spent 5 seconds on NowTheEndBegins.com, you know why she fired me. Why she fired me with tears in her eyes and her hands clenched like she wanted to kill me, shaking with rage. And I'm going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to give you some details of that I have never spoken about publicly. And it cost me something to witness for Jesus Christ. It cost me $120,000 per year salary. That's what it cost me back in 2015. And then when I got fired, I couldn't afford to pay my bills. I had a couple of months' salary saved up in the bank, but that ran out pretty quickly. And next thing that you know, not only did I lose my job, I lost my place to stay, and I became homeless for the entire summer. That was a little scary. It cost me something to witness for Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist here in Matthew chapter 11, it is about to cost him not just something, it's going to cost him everything. It's going to cost him his life. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I went through my time where I got fired and I lost my home and I became homeless, I didn't doubt God. But did I have a couple of second thoughts? Did I come before the Lord and say, Lord, how could you allow this to happen? Yeah, I'm a human being just like you are, just like John the Baptist. And when my fiery trial came, I stood side by side with John the Baptist in Matthew 11:3 and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist absolutely had second thoughts. And what did Jesus say to John? Matthew 11:4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. And what are those things? The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Well, amen. And then he says, verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. A lot of the times when God allows us to go through trials that are meant to grow us, trials that are meant to bring us closer to him, sometimes we get a little bit offended. If you're honest, God, how could you let this happen? God, why would you take my child? God, why would you take my husband or my wife? God, how could you allow me to get into that car wreck and I lost a leg? God, have you ever been there? If you're honest, you absolutely have been there. I've been there. John the Baptist was there. And that's why Jesus said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You have to remember back in John chapter 21, when Jesus says to Peter, he gives him the prophecy of his own death in verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, Peter, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And look at verse 19. Jesus said back in Matthew 11:6, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." Look at John 21:19. "This spake he, signifying by what death he," Peter, "should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Yeah, welcome to the Christian life. John the Baptist had his moment of trial. I had my moment. I've had multiple moments of trial. And I'm guessing that you, if you've been saved for any length of time, you have had your moment of trial as well. And you realize that God allows these things to grow you, to bring you closer to him, to show you to understand that you don't need clothes, food, shelter, money, privilege, position, power, standing. You need Jesus Christ is what you need. You need the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is what you need. The Bible says this in Matthew 6, starting in verse 31. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And here's the instruction. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Dispensationally speaking, the kingdom of God, that is our kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. And you enter into that kingdom when you become born again, according to John 3:3. And John 3:3, what does it say? "Jesus answered and saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So, getting back to Andrew. Andrew spent his time, obviously, talking about the things of God. Andrew spent his time with Peter, his brother, and the others. And they, just like somebody would talk about stats of their favorite sports team or who won that game or who won the fight or whatever the question is, Andrew and Peter and all of their friends spent a lot of time speculating about the Messiah. And in John chapter 1, Andrew finds the Messiah. And the very first thing he does is he runs home and he tells his brother Simon Peter that we have found the Messiah, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, "Peter, you got to come and see this guy." Now, Andrew didn't know anything about soul winning. Andrew had no idea what his spiritual gifts were. And not only had he never read one word of the New Testament was years away from being written. So what did Andrew do? He went home. As soon as he found the Messiah, he ran home to Peter and said, "I found him. Come and see." When you get saved, if you're saved right now, the easiest thing in the world to show Jesus Christ to somebody else. The best place to start? The best place to start is with your family, with your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your aunts, your uncle. That is the very, very best place to start. Do you remember the story of the maniac of Gadara, and he was chained to the cave, and Jesus Christ came, and he met with him, and that man got saved, and that man wanted to follow him, and Jesus said, nope, 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 go back to your friends and your family and tell them what great things that the Lord has done for you. Do you see this biblical principle that's here in the Bible? It's the easiest thing to do. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to be overly knowledgeable in the Bible. All you have to do is have met Jesus Christ yourself. That's all you have to do. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 and look at this story of the maniac of Gadara. Matthew chapter 8. Is that where I want to be? I don't think so. I think I want to be in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Yes, turn to Mark chapter 5. And when they had come over, yep, this is it, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. A lot of the times you'll read about these teenagers who cut themselves, and they don't know why they do it. That goes all the way back here, 2,000 years ago, to the Bible. And he cut himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what do I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. These evil spirits were speaking out of him. Verse 8 says, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And Jesus cast that unclean spirit out of him. We all know the story. And then the unclean spirits went into the herd of swine. It ran down into the sea and they drowned themselves. But look down in verse 18. Look down in verse 18 of Mark. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed with him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Now, that was the maniac of Gadara who was chained to the wall of a cave, who was filled with demons. And when he met Jesus Christ, those demons were cast out. That is a wonderful, an amazing picture of salvation. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, talking about salvation, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And this maniac in the cave, when he got free from his demons, the Bible says that he prayed that he might be with him. Jesus, take me with you. I want to be part of your crew. I want to be part of your group. Wherever you go, I want to go. Jesus had a different job for this guy. Verse 19 said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has compassion on thee. And that's exactly what that unnamed man from Gadara, that's exactly what he did. He went home and all he did was he gave his testimony. I was in a cave and I was in a bad place. I was in a dark place. I had tormenting thoughts night and day. And then one day, Jesus showed up. And he spake unto me and he cast those demons out and he saved me. And then he told me to go back to my friends and family and to tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. And this is my story. And that's what the maniac of Gadara did. His name is not even recorded here in the Bible. One of the reasons I think for that is it doesn't matter what his name is. I think God purposely left his name off so that you could put your name in his place. Think about that. If you've met Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, if you've had those demons cast out of you, if you've been saved and sealed unto the day of redemption, well, Jesus says, go home and tell your friends and tell your family what great things the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. That's exactly what Andrew did. He ran home. He said, Peter, Peter, we found him. We found the guy. This is the Messiah. It matches up with what Jeremiah said. It matches up with what Isaiah said. It matches up with everything in the Bible, the Old Testament. This is the guy, and you've got to come and see him. If you have a King James Bible, you can do the same thing that Andrew did. You can turn to your friends, your family. You can turn to somebody you meet in a coffee shop, and you can say, can I tell you the story of the great thing that Jesus did for me? And you can open up your King James Bible, and you can start right where this testimony is recorded. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Have you ever noticed how the Gospel of John is very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke is talking about the kingdom age. John is talking about the church age. John is talking about the kingdom of God. That's why John is the only one to talk about being born again in John 3:3. And all you have to do is take your King James Bible and say, can I show you Jesus Christ? Andrew ran home and said, Peter, come on, I got to show you Jesus. I got to show you the Messiah. Well, you can do the same thing if you have a Bible. The Bible says this, that faith cometh by hearing. Romans chapter 10 tells us, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. You can be exactly like Andrew, who is the first soul winner in the Bible. He is the first of the disciples that Jesus handpicked to be a witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did it before Jesus picked him. When you meet Jesus Christ, there's no doubt in your mind. And tonight, in our Bible study tonight, I'm going to share the journey that I went on to try and find Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you where I found him. I'm going to tell you how I found him. And it's all going to center around a black-backed, seven-sealed, red edged King James Authorized Version Holy Bible from the Gideon Bible and Tract Association. And that's where I found Jesus Christ, in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be like Andrew today, and you can go home and you can tell your friends and family. You can open up your King James Bible and you can say, look, see, we have found the Messiah. Here he is. Let me tell you about him. And when you open your mouth to give your testimony, you don't have to have Bible training. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew. You don't have to have been to seminary. You don't have to have been ordained or have the blessing of your church or your pastor or anybody else. If you're born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and you have a Bible, you can show Jesus to anybody. And all you have to do is like what Andrew did. Just tell them what you found and show them who the Messiah is. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. Andrew, you hardly ever hear a sermon about Andrew. Today, you have. Andrew, the first soul winner in the New Testament. He ran home and told Peter, I have found the Messiah, and I'm going to take you to him. You can do that for the lost people in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for this time. And I pray, Lord, that this message today will bear much, much, much fruit for you, that lost people would get saved, and that saved people would get on fire to get something done for you in these last days. And we thank you, we praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. I hope that this sermon has been a blessing to you. If it has, please take the link to this sermon and share it with everybody that you know. And let the word of God go forth in spirit and in truth and in power and in might and in majesty. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with a big update on the bookstore, a big update on our old-fashioned tent revival that's going to take place on May 22nd. And we're going to give you all the information and update about that. So please, 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 join us tonight, 9 p.m., right here, Eastern Standard Time, and Lord willing, we'll see you there then. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired. Shell of yourself. When you start to believe you don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead.
cross has brought heaven to us. But make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be.